Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. We're here again today with my lovely daughter, Rachel. Rachel's the youngest in the family. I have four children, Sarah, Michael, Joshua, and Rachel, and my wife, Debbie, and I. And Rachel works with Renewal Ministries and has been on this program before. I haven't had her for a while, but she's also a part of a dynamic team of young adults who are working with an outreach from Renewal Ministries called ID, which is focusing on being intentional about living as disciples of Jesus and finding our identity centered in the person of Jesus Christ. And I think what we've seen in the culture today and is really echoed in the teaching of the Second Vatican Council or things St. John Paul II has spoken about and other great Catholic writers and Christian writers, when humanity loses connection with God, the revealed God, man becomes unrecognizable to himself, you could say. Like, we lose hold of the reality of who we actually are, and it has just devastating consequences. And so we want to begin today. We talked the last couple of days on the challenge. You know, what is it that young people are facing and all of us are facing? And if you have had a chance to tune into the program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can download the program and just listen to them at your leisure. Or the simplest way to access all that we're doing, our YouTube videos, the ID Outreach, the Be Love Revolution for young girls, Zion for young boys, Sister Anne's wonderful radio program, our television programs and the like. Just download the Renewal Ministries app and you can access that stuff whenever you want to, whenever it's convenient. Or also, I'd encourage you to download the Ave Maria app and get all the wonderful programming that's produced here in Ann Arbor and programs. So, Rach, let's pick up kind of where we left off yesterday. Let's make that turn now. Did a really good analysis, I think, of what we're facing. Right. How does one enter Jesus' story?
So we set a little overview of it last time. So just to kind of start a little very condensed overview, right, of the story of God, right, was that the world was created out of love, by love, and for love. God, who had no need of anything outside of himself, created the world and created human beings for love. That relationship was disrupted through sin, which is the problem that God sends his son to remedy. You know, nobody can remedy this problem, so God sends his only son to remedy this problem, and he invites us into relationship through repentance and baptism into the family of God, which is the church, to be reconciled to the Father for the forgiveness of our sins, to ultimately change our destiny, which is to be able to not only be in heaven, but as St. Paul says, also be co-heirs with Jesus in heaven and to reign with him. And so that's like the overarching story, which it's so funny because we just say that so casually, like, this is the story of God. This is the story that we believe, like, it's the most casual thing ever. And then you just kind of say it shortly like that. And you're like, what? Yeah. This is crazy. You know, if this is really true, you know, if this is really true, it's the most important thing that's ever happened, you know,
by far,
so, you know, which is the center of that is the incarnation. So the way that we enter in, and the amazing thing about entering into God's story and making a conscious choice of coming into God's story on his terms is he's already started the process. He's already started the conversation by coming to us on our terms.
By becoming one of us.
By becoming man. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is crazy. Like, I've never been at a childbirth before. I saw childbirth. And I was thinking the whole time, I can't believe Jesus was a baby. You know, like, we know this in our minds, but then you see a newborn and you're like, oh my goodness, Jesus really came to us on our terms, you know? But that doesn't mean that the whole relationship is on our terms, you know? So in terms of actually coming, a lot of us, we live just kind of most of our lives floating along, maybe as what we even think is a good Christian or a good Catholic, but we really need to be intentional about daily aligning ourselves and our identity to Jesus. And so in terms of a starting point, I mean, Jesus is very clear when he steps on the scene in his public ministry. Where do you start? A lot of us might be baptized listening to this, but we may not necessarily have had a conscious repentance. You know, so where do you start? Repent and believe, right? So actually repenting, turning, what is repentance? Turning away, right? Not just saying the words of I'm sorry, but actually turning away of our former life. What Jesus offers us through the gospel is regeneration, is literally new life. And that means living a new order of life. When you come into new life, there's new roles and responsibilities that are on you for that new order of life. And so we have to actually be able to enter into that. And that starts with turning away from the things that separate us from God.
Yeah, that's good. And going back to how you set it up initially, those four key points, you know, creation, fall, redemption, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And you say, let's say Jesus is speaking to someone, opening up the reality. And people say, they have grace to believe, to say, okay, I think you're right. I think you're right about our condition. And I think you are who you say you are. Mm-hmm. You know, what do I do? And then Jesus mm-hmm. says at one point, what you're going to do is I'm the firstborn now in this mm-hmm. family, and mm-hmm. I'm coming to bring you into the family and the way of life of the family and the ultimate destiny that is to bring you home to the Father, to mm-hmm. meet your Father. But what you're doing is you're following me.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get that term disciple,
yeah.
which you guys
mm-hmm.
speak a lot about.
Yeah.
You know, it's a learner, it's mm-hmm. following. And he puts these terms and conditions down right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. If you want to be my disciple, my follower, you must do what?
Take up your cross.
Yeah,
you must follow me. You must die to yourself.
Yeah.
yeah.
So the first, yeah. isn't that crazy? The first is yeah. that you must deny yourself. And look what the
culture
is doing.
No,
yeah. me, self, me, 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 me. I believe mm-hmm. in the power of me. I believe in all of this mm-hmm. stuff. And Jesus said, no, that's, I love you. That's not the way to go. Mm-hmm. That's the way to hell. That, I mean, that's the way it's going to just ruin you.
Uh-huh.
And, but you come now and do this. And so again, deny yourself. What does it mean to deny yourself?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? What do you think he
yeah.
means by that?
I think it means to put to death everything in you, or more accurately, to surrender, to let Jesus put to death everything in you that is opposed to God and is opposed to that. I mean, starting with our human pride, you know, that says there's something in all of us that says, I want to be God. That's why we took the bite of the apple, because we want to be in control. We want to grasp for what God wants to give us. So the first step in terms of repentance and denying yourself is just almost in a sense like opening up your hands, letting go of what we're grasping and trying to control, to say, actually, I'm stepping into a relationship where I get so much from the Lord. Like I get so many blessings. I get access to heaven, but I have no rights in a sense, you know, where I'm giving up my right now to decide where my life goes, to decide what I do with myself, because I don't belong to myself. I belong to God, and I belong to the people of God who are helping me to now belong to God. So I think the first thing that dies in us is our pride, is that desire to be God, to make ourselves and to be in control, to say, no, like Jesus isn't just my friend. You know, when we meet the real Jesus, if we have met the real Jesus, it demands from us a response, and that only response can be humility.
Yeah. And it's a response that by grace this happens, where you say, you know, Jesus just said, it's not from what comes outside of man that makes him unclean, it's what comes from within. Mm-hmm. And he said, look what's in the human heart. And,
yeah.
and the gospel said, Jesus knows what's in the heart mm-hmm. of man. He said, what's in there? Jealousy, rivalry, envy, conceit, hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, all mm-hmm. these things. And the grace is to say, you're right. And Jesus said, to deny yourself is the powers, all those powers mm-hmm. in you. If you keep clinging to those,
mm-hmm.
you're going to go where they lead you.
Right.
You've got to lay down the fundamental mm-hmm. root of all that is the relationship you have to yourself to be
yeah.
your own master.
Right.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's exactly it. And a lot of people who are baptized have never come to that
yeah.
place.
And a lot of that is allowing Jesus to overcome fear. And this is also a process too through our entire lives. We make this decision over and over again. And it's almost a process of letting Jesus help us face ourselves. You know, like help us to come face to face who we really are without him. And to let go of those places, to repent of those places, to be healed of those places. And a lot of times, even in our spiritual life, we can do all the right spiritual things, but we still spend a lot of time running from that place where we have to face ourselves with Jesus.
Mm, yeah.
So we never really end up letting go of that control. And we say, I mean, even you look at like the parables that Jesus says, the pearl of great price, right? What is the merchant? He doesn't negotiate, okay, can you take 3 pearls for this 1 pearl? I don't really want to sell all my pearls. But he comes face to face with the most beautiful pearl he's ever seen. And he says, take everything that I have. And then he doesn't go back and say, well, actually, I gave you everything, but this pearl doesn't seem as worth it as I thought, so maybe I'm going to take back my... This is what we do with God in our spiritual life. So take everything. Well, actually, maybe not my career, not my children, not these things that I'm worried about. I'm still going to do these spiritual things and have a spiritual life, but I'm going to stay attached to the things that keep me safe and help me.
The boyfriend who wants me to live with him and not be married and all that, I can't let him go.
And help me run from actually what's going on in here, right? Because the only way that we can come face to face with those parts of us that we don't want to face, right? That's why we want to be God and we want to not be humble in those places, because it's hard and it's painful to look at those things. But Jesus wants to bring... The only way that new life can come is through death, right? And so he wants to bring those places to death, but we spend so much time running around and filling ourselves with noise.
Yeah.
You know, so we, even if we're the most quote unquote spiritual people, you know, even if we go to daily mass every day, that's amazing, that's beautiful. But if we're not actually having silence and time where we're intentionally saying, I need to, these things in me need to be put to death, and I actually can't do it.
Yeah,
because my inclination is jealousy. My inclination is hatred. My inclination is
lust, all these
different things. This is my inclination, and I need God to come in so close to me, to come inside of me, to make me new. And that process isn't like rainbows and butterflies, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's so good, Rachel. I was just thinking that one of the things that can happen with people is Jesus. Like he manifested himself, his unique authority and power when he did signs and wonders. And people said, okay, wow, he's amazing. And clearly what he's saying, I think it's true. And you say, okay, I got it. Great. I'm going to go. No. You know what I mean? Like, I got it. I'm going to go live it. No. Once the light starts going on, you have to get to the point of hearing Jesus to say, okay, there's only one way out. If he's right, there's only one way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I not only have to kind of believe in my head, I have to trust him. Mm-hmm. I have to stop trusting my heart. And I got to trust his heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I've got to lean. My faith is this, a radical abandonment of my life in trust to a person.
Mm-hmm.
This is what makes Christianity so unique. It's not just a philosophy that he laid on us and said, well, that makes sense. Like, wow, wasn't his anthropology cool? Wasn't that amazing? He's really right about that probably.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And said, no, there's only one way out of it. And Jesus said, that's why I'm here. That's why I did all this to get here. You need to be saved.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And a saving is trusting me now. Give me your hand and let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And stop insisting. Stop pulling back and come with me.
Yeah. Even in the practical life of the disciples, you see it. I mean, Jesus doesn't come and say, you know, he's a rabbi in the times. And when you apprenticed under a rabbi at the time, you did every single thing that the rabbi did. He didn't just come and teach you at your house. You were apprenticing under the rabbi. You stayed with the rabbi in his home. You followed him everywhere he went. So Jesus is saying, you know, I'm not coming to just make students. He calls the disciples out of what they're doing. And he says, this call, I'm not just going to come visit you at your house, Peter, and have dinner with you and your wife and do some good teachings and then come check in on you later and see if you're living the philosophy. Drop everything and like attach yourself to me only.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's come and live with me.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just coming over for dessert. You're coming to live with me now because you're in our family.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what this family's about. Now you have to surrender and you have to let me teach you, lead you, heal you, forgive you, love you, all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's so good. Good job, Rach. I think we're going to tune into these themes again tomorrow, friends, I think on a deeper level. I hope the Spirit's been moving today in our conversation and that your heart's been touched, because this is the critical piece, the I surrender piece. And friends, the reason the culture is losing its mind, the reason there's so much of, you've heard me describe it before and you see it every day, is human beings are becoming unhinged from this offer of salvation and to follow in the steps of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. We're either going to follow him. God set before us life and death, blessing and a curse. Jesus is life. Jesus is blessing. To follow him means life. Hope you can tune in tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.